Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. So this week, we're focusing on President Trump's first international tour and his speeches that he's giving in Saudi Arabia and Israel and Rome. This is an exciting, exciting time. But before we go into his speech, and we've been talking about his speech on the previous program, powerful policies are going to come out of this. $400 million is being invested by Saudi Arabia into jobs. $400 billion worth of money is being invested in jobs for America and for Saudi Arabia, which there are only 33 million folks right here. And also $110 billion is being used to purchase military equipment to be able to fight their own battles. If you missed our last program, you got to get our president is setting the agenda saying, don't wait for America. You need to fight this battle. We need to fight it together, but you need to fight your own battle. But I want to take you back and remind you what happened in the early part of the President Trump's administration when the Prince Faisal, he's the advisor to the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, came on Fox News and he told us the reality of what's going on. What we found out in his interview, and you'll hear, is the fact that Saudi Arabia's been wanting to help all along. They've been wanting to participate. They've been wanting to help end terrorism and fight the fight. But they said that President Obama would not let Saudi Arabia come in. Well, listen, if you call our last program, President Trump said, not only get in, fight the fight, fund your own fight, we'll give you the equipment, but you're even going to have to buy that equipment. Let's go back and remember the interview with Prince Faisal, the advisor to the Crown Prince, as he's saying how things really are in regards to Saudi Arabia and America. Take a look.
Prince Mohammed was very keen to come meet President Trump as early as possible to re-emphasize the importance of the relationship between the two countries and, to reinvigorate the strategic long-standing partnership that we've had. We've been partners and allies for 50 years. We've worked very well together. Saudi Arabia has been a stable and reliable partner for the United States for that time. And I think Prince Mohammed was keen to make sure that, we can move into the 21st century together in a very positive and mutually beneficial way.
As you know, candidate Trump did not shy away from saying what had to be done with Gulf states, especially paying their fair share for protection or going after ISIS, something he reiterated after getting elected. Here he was in December talking about it.
When I look at what's going on in Syria, it's so sad. It's so sad. And we've got to help people. And we have the Gulf states. They have nothing but money. We don't have money. We owe $20 trillion. I will get the Gulf states to give us lots of money, and we'll build and help build safe zones in Syria so people can have a chance.
So what about that? Safe zones in Syria and you all helping to pay the bill?
Yeah, well, I mean, Saudi Arabia has always been keen to play its role in the region and in partnership with the U.S., so I think we are more than ready to cooperate with the United States on countering ISIS in Syria, in Iraq, across the region, not just financially, but the Saudi government offered in the Obama administration's time to send its troops into Syria to fight ISIS. That was not met with enthusiasm by the Obama administration. I think that offer remains on the table, and I'm sure the Saudi government is more than ready to support the U.S. in eradicating ISIS. But as I said, not just financially, but actually with its own troops and with its own people.
So you're about to see, there they are. They're setting the agenda. They said, this is what we want to do. And that's why you see the president that's in Saudi Arabia saying, we're working with the Crown Prince. We're working with them funding. And you heard what the president said. President Trump said, we will get them. They have lots of money. We'll get them to pay for what's going on. Well, we just had our last program. They're investing $400 billion into America and Saudi Arabia's economy to be for jobs, $110 billion, I believe, in regards to purchasing military equipment so they can fight their own battle. Exactly what President Trump said he was going to do is exactly what he did. And the Saudi people are saying, we want to be able to do that. But before we go into President Trump's speech, I want you to understand the tensions between Saudi Arabia and Iran. When you think about Islam or you think about Muslims, you have the Sunni Muslims, which are the Muslims who are in Saudi Arabia, but then you have the Shia Muslims who are in Iran. They believe differently. There's a smaller number of the Shiite Muslims. The previous administration, President Trump, was partnering up and
Obama.
Obama. The previous administration, President Obama, was funding the Shia Muslims and Iran and nuclear capabilities and pilots of money. But these are radical views of what they want to do to the world. And the Sunni, as a matter of fact, listen to the explanation of the tensions between the two.
Saudi Arabia and Iran have what can lightly be described as a tense relationship. The two majority Islamic countries are geographically separated by only a few miles of Persian Gulf. But ideologically, politically, and culturally, the gap is much wider. Currently, the two are engaged in a proxy war in Yemen, with both sides recruiting allies in order to influence Middle Eastern affairs. So why does Saudi Arabia and Iran hate each other? Well, back in 1929, the future looked bright for the two nations. They'd signed the Saudi-Iranian Friendship Treaty, and diplomatic relations were on the rise. However, sometime in the 60s, the conservative nature of Saudi Arabia ruffled feathers in the modernizing Iran. Anecdotally, Iran's king or shah was said to have reached out to Saudi Arabia's king, saying, "Please, my brother, modernize. Open up your country. Let women wear miniskirts. Have discos. Be modern." In response, the Saudi king replied, "You are not the Shah of France. You are in Iran. Your population is 90% Muslim. Please don't forget that." In fact, despite both countries being predominantly Muslim, each has a different and opposing Islamic sect as the religious majority. In short, the Saudis follow Wahhabism, an ultra-conservative sect of the Sunni faith, while Iranians are mostly Twelvers of the Shia faith. The divide between the Shia and the Sunni is largely based on who they believe is the true successor of Islam's prophet, Muhammad. Most of the world's Muslims identify as Sunni, and nearly half of the world's Shiites live in Iran. In 1979, Iran underwent a revolution that ousted the westernized US-backed Shah and instituted an Islamic republic led by a religious authority, Ayatollah Khomeini. The now anti-U.S. Iran began openly condemning Saudi Arabia's religious authority and support for the U.S. In the late 80s, possibly spurred by Saudi Arabia and the U.S.'s significant backing of Iraq and the Iran-Iraq War, the Ayatollah made a number of inflammatory comments after calling the Saudis a band of heretics. Diplomatic relations between the two countries stalled. But by 2007, tensions had relaxed enough that the Iranian president visited Saudi Arabia as a friendly gesture. In 2011, there was an assassination attempt by Iranian nationals against the Saudi ambassador to the U.S. And at the same time, Iran supported Syrian President Bashar al-Assad against the U.S. and Saudi forces during the Syrian civil war. This reignited Iran and Saudi Arabia's ideological rivalry. Since the 1960s, the two countries have been fighting for influence and control of the Middle East along religious and political lines. And currently, they are engaged in a proxy war in Yemen, exemplifying the Sunni-Shia East-West divide.
This is so important. When you see your president, our president, President of America, President Donald Trump, go right and speak directly in the Middle East to 50 Arab and Muslim nations and say exactly what he's been saying from his campaign trails, what he's saying about his agenda for the White House and where we want to go with America. I mean, it's amazing what's taking place. These are amazing days. Empowering women. You hear people saying about the president's speech, they're saying he didn't speak up for women. He didn't speak up for this. He spoke up for everything. I mean, he spoke up for,
That's right.
He stayed consistent for who he was. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing I've been hearing all along. As a matter of fact, I heard it years ago with him saying it. And it's happening. He's just, one British parliamentarian stood up and he said, President Trump will be the only politician that ever got in trouble for actually doing what he said he would do.
Yeah. And now what you're seeing in this dark contrast with the void of leadership that existed in this area, in the Middle East, in the previous administration. Now we have a new leader, a new president that's setting the course, setting the agenda. And these nations are responding to that nation and saying, hey, we're with you. Here's $510 billion to prove that we're with you.
And this is just the beginning.
And it's just the beginning.
Can you imagine how Kim Jong-un is feeling right now?
Terrified.
I'm sure he's got cable.
Yeah.
He only has her cable in it. But you think about this, that, you know, things are shifting. You know, President Trump brought in some of the, so the reports are the greatest cabinet that's ever been put together in the history of cabinets coming together. So reports are. And I think about Condoleezza Rice. She's the one that advised President Trump to take on Rex Tillerson as the Secretary of State. So all these people, it's not just, it's a team. I think about President Reagan. He said, you know, you can accomplish anything as long as you're willing to share the credit. And let's say you have a leader that's saying, listen, come on, Saudi Arabia, come on, 50 Arab nations and 50 Muslim nations, let's come together and let's end terrorism. Mm.
Amazing.
When they write you a $510 million check.
Billion dollar check.
Previous president was giving away that money.
That's right.
$20 trillion in debt. And we got so many great things we're going to be showing you, because we have also his trip in Israel and what happened there and what's going to happen in Rome. And this is a new agenda. You remember 8 years ago there was an apology tour.
Well,
please forgive us for being Americans,
yes.
Right?
You know, I think the world is straightening up and taking notice that there's a different foreign agenda happening under this administration. And you're saying this cabinet is amazing. Rex Tillerson over the Secretary of State, Wilbur Ross over Commerce. You have, you know, Governor Rick Perry over the energy.
Homeland Security.
General Kelly.
Yes.
These are professionals. These are people that the grown-ups. I mean, these people can handle what's happening. So he's not in it alone.
And his security, who's the head security advisor? That's
Steve Bannon?
No. Military general.
McMaster?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
They speak highly of his integrity and his ability to tell the truth. It's amazing.
Yeah, and He actually wrote a book on integrity and why what we did wrong in Vietnam in regards to those particular issues.
Yes,
right there.
Correct.
We are going with President Trump to Saudi Arabia. He's given his speech to 50 Arab and Muslim nation leaders and just laying it out there. And what he's about to say next on his speech is so important if you understand that women's rights and children's rights. And some people say, well, he didn't speak. He's already talked about it already. But this next part of his speech, he says, listen, you know, this means the promoting and aspirations and dreams of women and children. What are their dreams? Let's join the president now.
That means promoting the aspirations and dreams of all citizens who seek a better life, including women, children, and the followers of all faith.
You know, being an American, you may think, what's the big deal? It's a huge deal. It's a huge deal in Saudi Arabia, because Saudi Arabia says women can't drive.
Yeah.
The women have to be covered. These different things, you saw the tensions earlier that we talked about in the program as it was explained. And so when you are a woman who is wanting to be heard and wanting to be more than just a piece of property or whatever.
Absolutely.
And the leader of America comes in and says, we think that the aspirations of these women and children is very, very important.
Yeah.
And they interview one of the princes, you know, the princes that said, you know, what do you have to say about this? Brett Baer did with Fox News. And he said, you know, we're not there yet, but today we're actually covering it on our own media, is talking about these issues.
Yeah.
Women not driving and that type of thing. You just couldn't say anything at all.
And you can see this idea and what he's trying to promote with his own wife, the First Lady Melania, and his daughter Ivanka, not wearing any kind of headscarves when they were coming into the Middle East. And
right.
A stark contrast from what happened in previous administrations.
And at the same time, the pants that she was wearing is the very same pants that women in Saudi Arabia wear.
Mm.
And so in regards to the whole coverage, but that part of it. So some of the women spoke out and thought how much that meant that she was saying a statement for women, standing for women there. And that, you know, God is doing something in the earth. And if you're an oppressed person, you're so grateful when somebody's coming along and saying, your aspirations and your dreams matter. And here, President Trump said it right in the middle of the Middle East, who's struggling with these issues. And, you know, what are they going to do? What else did he say?
He's getting ready to talk about how they must practice tolerance and respect for all people, for all ethnicity and their background. This is so important. This is a place traditionally has had very low tolerance for those that don't necessarily believe according to the way they believe.
So some of the ones that are saying that President Trump is intolerant, he's actually going to with people who are intolerant and saying, you need to be more tolerant.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go there.
Watch.
We must practice tolerance and respect for each other once again and make this region a place where every man and woman, no matter their faith or ethnicity, can enjoy a life of dignity and hope.
That is so important. I mean, if you're not oppressed and you don't know anybody that's oppressed and you don't know about the history of the Middle East and Saudi Arabia, you might not be thinking much. But if you are that person who's never been counted, that you actually have to have a witness in some nations to be able to prove that you are raped. If you don't have a witness with you, that you can't even get in an elevator without having a, I mean, it's just, And you have a president. I mean, he's coming in. He's standing up for human rights.
That's right.
Values of the human race in the middle of people who are struggling with how do you give those rights to someone. I love what he does next.
Well, I think it's so important, too, when you think about this, that in the previous administration, this country has been marginalized. And so now Saudi Arabia is getting an opportunity to be players in the region because the United States is coming along. Well, now the president's actually is able to promote his influence over the region, as you can see, by even talking about women's rights, human rights, and saying, listen, we want to work with you, but we want to see some change in some of your policies, in some of your ideologies, and let's do this together. But it's going to require all of us to do some changing to make this work.
I like what he says next, because he's coming just nailing it and saying, listen, you know, from Lebanon to Iraq to Yemen, he talks about the funds, the arms, the terrorism, and all the different proxy wars that are going on. I mean, he just nails it. And he's talking to some of the people who have been fighting the proxy wars. As a matter of fact, take a look.
From Lebanon to Iraq to Yemen, Iran funds arms and trains terrorists, militias, and other extremist groups that spread destruction and chaos across the region. For decades, Iran has fueled the fires of sectarian conflict and terror. It is a government that speaks openly of mass murder, vowing the destruction of Israel, death to America, and ruin for many leaders and nations in this very room. Among Iran's most tragic and destabilizing interventions, you've seen it in Syria. Bolstered by Iran, Assad has committed unspeakable crimes, and the United States has taken firm action in response to the use of banned chemical weapons by the Assad regime, launching 59 missiles at the Syrian airbase from where that murderous attack originated.
So you're looking at, by the way, the president's given that tone and the slowness of the speech so that it can be interpreted for people that are listening to it. I mean, think about the difference of this. The previous president was supporting Iran, sending pallets of money over to hundreds of millions of dollars, I believe, on pallets of
hundreds of millions.
And giving them access to, people say, it's for just for energy. Well, that's what North Korea did.
And and now we're dealing with North Korea.
With a nuclear power. And the same one that negotiated the deal reportedly for President Bill Clinton in North Korea was the same one that got to cut the deal in Iran.
We would hire the same person, really.
But look, I mean, what he's saying, he said, listen, he says, Iran has been funding every, I mean, he's saying very specifically that from Lebanon to Iraq, Yemen, Iran funds, arms, and trains terrorists, militia, and other extremist groups that spread destruction and chaos across the region. For decades, Iran has fueled the fires of all this contentions and terror. And they're a state-sponsored terrorism. But for 8 years, they've been supporting our own leadership.
Absolutely.
Was supporting terror.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right?
Well, the president's own advisor, Valerie Jarrett, was born in Iran. I mean,
She's an American, but her father was there and she was born there. She was very friendly with
But the Saudi Arabia.
Remember the Green Party?
Oh, yes.
The Green Party, when they're having the spring uprising and Arab nations were getting free from the oppression. Yeah. Well, they wanted to do the same thing. So they did the same thing in their street. And they wrote a letter to President Barack Obama, the former president, and said, help us, too.
It never happened.
It didn't happen. Instead, they helped the
those that were in power stayed.
Yeah, the Ayatollah and just gave them. It's like, what was God has intervened. This is just like Haman. When you think about, remember Haman, he had this plot against the Jews, and he hated the Jews because some personal vendetta that he had because somebody didn't think he was something. Mm-hmm. And so because the guy was a Jew that did that to him, he's going to hurt all the Jews. And so he builds this huge hangman's noose, and they're going to kill all the Jews. And then all of a sudden, even though he built this huge apparatus, it turned on him. Mm. And he got exposed in the very trap and tools and financing and strategy that they put together to kill the Jews. The Jews got over that, and they're the ones that exercised that equipment, and he died on his own evil plots. He fell in his own hole that he dug. I mean, Proverbs says that. Listen, we got to go to break. But listen, we're going to continue with the president speaking, I mean, laying out policy now. If you want to know where our president stands, I mean, if you stay tuned to the last program, this program, and our future programs, as we cover his international tours as he's taken with these speeches, he's setting an agenda for the world. It's amazing. We are joining President Donald Trump in the Middle East at Saudi Arabia as he's speaking to 50 Arab and Muslim nations. He is standing up. If anybody right now should say, we owe this man respect because he's walked in the midst literally of the swords.
Yes.
And stood up and said the very same thing he's been saying, standing up for women, standing up for the values of folks, standing up for the, you know, over 90% of the victims of radical Islam, John, are Muslims, according to his speech. But what is he saying right here?
Well, although Iran was not a part of this speech, they weren't present, represented, he did address them. Yeah, he did address them. And he did say that they're going to have to be isolated. If they're not going to be a partner in peace, that we're going to have to work collectively as a global community, basically, to isolate them. Watch this.
Until the Iranian regime is willing to be a partner for peace, all nations of conscience must work together to isolate Iran, deny it. Funding for terrorism cannot do it. And pray for the day when the Iranian people have the just and righteous government they so richly deserve.
That's so powerful.
Wow.
I mean, you think about that. So you're looking at the... You know, basically, everybody around Iran is going about to snuff out any support and cut off the fuel and cut off the all the things that the previous president just opened up a floodgate of funds
of wealth and prosperity.
Wealth and
absolutely.
Prosperity and doing business. People ran to do business with them to use that. To
get
that
Germany.
Yeah, Germany. And so now you're looking at, they're saying, you know, you, as a matter of fact, he even says right here in this next part of his speech, he says, listen, will we be indifferent in the presence of evil? We just sit back. A lot of people do that. You know, a lot of people watch the world and watch life and watch TV, but they don't get involved in it.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is, he's saying, you're going to fight this thing. If you would have called our previous program, you're going to fight this thing. We're going to get behind you. Oh, we're going to give you some tools, but you're going to buy the tools from us. I'm going
to
love that.
We're not going to give it to you.
Yes, I love that. He said he was, that's what he said he's going to do. As a matter of fact, join it. This is him speaking specifically about, you know, talking to the 50 Arab and Muslim nations, are you going to sit around and be indifferent, or are you going to do something about this opportunity? Take a look.
Will we be indifferent in the presence of evil? Will we protect our citizens from its violent ideology? Will we let its venom spread through our societies? Will we let it destroy the most holy sites on earth? I ask you to join me, to join together, to work together, and to fight together, because united, we will not fail. We cannot fail.
That's so important. You're looking at, he's saying, that's it. Join me in this vision. He cast the vision. Mm-hmm. He said, this is, you know, everybody's got to man up and woman up and do their responsibility for driving out this radical element. And a lot of people have been letting it nest in their, I mean, there's some no-go zones all over Europe, and they're letting that nest there instead of saying, you know, we're not going to do that here anymore. And you look at this big turnaround taking place, and he's saying, you know, are we going to sit complacently by and not do something? Or are you going to join me and join us together to be able to fight this element? And the thing about it is, what you find out, what follows that? Well, $400 billion investment,
$510 billion
investment, where they're purchasing America's equipment to fight the battle themselves. And we you know, Prince Faisal talk about, they've been trying to do that for 8 years, but the previous president said, we don't want your help.
But, and why wasn't that not reported? I mean, so many things were marginalized.
It's dangerously brought us to a place that if it wasn't for God intervening, as you heard Lance Wallner talk about at the beginning of this program, God intervened with Osiris to stop the destruction that was coming our way. I mean, mercy just came. And so we have to respond and realize these Sunni Muslims are saying, listen, and I think about the King of Jordan too.
Abdullah?
He's saying from the beginning, he was at the prayer meeting in Washington, D.C., saying, we want to work with you to be able to stop this.
He's taking on so many of the refugees, his country can't even support him anymore.
Yes. And the president said, I'm going to go there. And we heard in the early part of his speech, or early part of this program, he said, they got lots of money. We're going to go there. We're going to take their money to do it, and they're going to pay for it. And that's exactly what's happening. You have a president that had a vision for bringing safety, security, and finance into this whole security apparatus and for jobs as well. He had a vision for it, but how many people say they have a vision for it? They don't bring it up. I mean, they're writing the check. He's going exactly to where he says he's going to go. He's casting vision, and they wrote 510, the beginning of I'm sure.
I think two things American people are still beginning to see with this president. They haven't seen it already. One, they're seeing that his business skills come into play on the global scene because he's making all these deals are so important. And a lot of times you have administrators that are not cutting the right deals.
Right.
They're playing these political...
That's not their gift.
Yeah, they're playing political games, right? And the second thing you're seeing is a president who backs up his word.
Yeah.
He's doing what he said he was going to do. It's a refreshing time. It really is an encouraging time in America.
I hate to say that, but it's very unusual for a national political figure to stick to their original script.
Yeah.
And although he is pragmatic in what he's doing, which you have to be pragmatic because you're dealing with all these moving elements and parts. But this is so now you know, if these last two programs, you got to really hear firsthand what was happening in Saudi Arabia, what our president said on the international scale, 50 Arab and Muslim nations coming together who backed it up with financial support. And so you know firsthand, you need to share this with your friends so they actually know what's going on and don't get the secular bent on
it. That's right.
But listen, our next program, we're going to be talking about Israel.
Yes.
As President Trump goes to Jerusalem. He is close friends with Bibi, Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister, the president. He was shown over 5,000-year-old items that's in the prime minister's house. Well, a tour through the prime minister's house, you'll see. He was given a Bible. He's the first president to pray at the Western Wall.
Yes.
You know, in Jerusalem. I mean, we're about to go to, I want to pray. Yeah,
he's also the first president who made Israel part of his very first foreign trip. First president ever to do that.
Yes.
So a lot of firsts.
So this is so exciting. Make sure you catch our next program. We're spending this whole week on on President Trump's international tour, and as he's setting vision for the new economy, the new safety, and the new security. I want to pray with you before we go. Father God, Lord, I thank you for our audience. I just pray encouragement over them and blessings over them. For those that need healing right now, Father God, I just speak healing over their bodies, maybe over their mind, over their eyes, over their joints. I speak for those that are lonely, Lord God, that you would just send somebody in their life to be able to encourage them, Lord God, and your spirit would go to encourage them that they wouldn't have to be alone anymore, Father God. And I thank you that we're together every day on television as we're talking to them. So we're not alone. We're together, Father God, every day. And by your grace, we'll continue to be here, God. We pray a blessing over our audience in Jesus' name. God bless.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.